Hello there, and welcome to Star Wars Music Minute, where we celebrate the music and sound of Star Wars 5 cinematic minutes at a time. I'm Chrysanthi Tan, you can call me Xanthi, and today's episode is based on minutes 6 through 10 of Star Wars A New Hope. This chunk of the film starts and ends with droids. At the beginning here, we have 3PO observing Leia and R2. He sees Leia touch R2's dome, crouching down, then she backs away. And by minute 10, 3PO and R2 are bickering on Tatooine, just like the droids we know and love. I'm really pleased today to be joined by Element 7, Pep. I'm a really big fan. I'm a big fan of you. Element 7 is a Star Wars creator, also co-hosts a podcast with Darth Chaco. And yeah, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Pep. I am known to the Star Wars TikTok community or the creator community as Element 7. You can find me on TikTok at _Element7_. Same recently on Twitter. I finally got it matching. It's very difficult to get all of your socials consistent like that. I ran into a lot of, you know, instances of people sharing my stuff and not knowing, you know, how to credit me because they couldn't find me. And so the past week I've been trying to get everything consistent. But yeah, I'm a Star Wars creator. I do reactions to Star Wars. I try to teach people about Star Wars. The world of Star Wars has exponentially grown in the past several years with the sequel trilogy and now with the Disney Plus TV shows. And we're getting a lot of fans. And I felt where I was compelled to, at least, you know, I was when I first started with TikTok, the conversation about Star Wars was very, very negative, and very, very toxic. And I kind of felt like I needed to share my voice. I needed to give people a safe space to be fans, new or old. And so I kind of created this realm where I answer questions, teach people about Star Wars, teach them about the lore, get them to start reading the books and the comics and just expanding their knowledge. In a way that isn't, you know, ostracizing to anybody. That's just like, if you're new, come on in, we'll learn together. And it has evolved into this massive community of positivity, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of it.
I really recommend any Star Wars fans listening to go follow Element 7. Basically, what you're saying is sort of what I'm trying to also do with the music side of Star Wars. And you know, we were talking a little bit before I hit record, but I was telling Pep that, like, I actually feel intimidated tackling A New Hope and tackling the music of A New Hope. I know last season I did The Last Jedi, and not that that wasn't intimidating, but I feel like, because it is a newer movie, I felt a little bit less, you know, walking in the shadows of giants or whatever. So your little intro has just, you know, you know what? I'm just going to feel empowered to, we're going to dive into this where we are. So, so let's do it. Let's talk about the music and sound of minutes 6 through 10 of A New Hope. Yes. Okay. I never know how to start this because there's so much to say, but right off the bat, I guess I'll start. Okay. Right off the bat, we have a continuation of something from the last set of minutes, which is the Force theme. Mm-hmm. And we get also, like, Leia's theme counter melody sort of enters. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's a mix of a lot of different things in the beginning, because, like, as you said, we're at the tail end of, like, the Force theme, and then it shows Leia, I guess, at the tail end of recording her You're My Only Hope message, and then we get some of her theme, but then it's, like, kind of, like, interrupted, and then we get some more, like, hectic, exciting music that is, you know, of course, the introduction of Vader coming in, and it's just, it's all a jumble of sounds, really.
Yeah. There's, there's a lot of music, and it's almost I feel like the music in this film particularly feels a lot different than the music in any of the other films. And we know a few things about the scoring process. I mean, we know a lot of things about the scoring process and how, of course, this is the first movie, so there's a lot of it that is like, you know, not necessarily with the idea of there being nine or and more. But something that I find very interesting is that this first instance of the Force theme and Leia's theme, they're small. They're not like the big, like, florid, most emotional orchestrations of the theme, you know? So
yeah.
I think that's really interesting because, like, when I think of the Force theme, I think of Luke looking at the sunset, you know, I think of binary mm-hmm. sunset, and I think, and when I think of Leia's theme, I think also of like this really big, I think of like all the big times that it's like an emotional version of Leia's theme. So what I think is interesting here is how really those themes, like by the time we get them big, like the seeds have already been planted.
Yeah.
So here we are, like, we are getting that.
In the process of scoring, is it typically done chronologically or sequentially? Like, do they go from the beginning to the film to the end and just score it? Or do they get like segments and portions given to them? And then John Williams like just makes music for those scenes.
It's really changed over the years and it really depends on the film. But in this case, George Lucas had a really clear idea of the type of music that he wanted, which is why John Williams was hired in the first place. George Lucas had the idea of he wanted a throwback to like the old Hollywood scores. And Steven Spielberg is the one that was like, hey, I just had this guy work on Jaws. Like, you have to get him. He's the best.
I guess it feels like in this, like, you know, it's still very early in the film there, or at least the sound is trying to be established quickly within the next few minutes, you know, going from to and from several different sounds for different people.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how much of that was like, I'm sure John Williams knew that these were going to be like light motifs to an extent. I mean, at least some of them. And I think I would have had enough of the film at one time to be able to write in advance. Like, I don't think he's like writing with like the rest of, with no knowledge of what's coming next. So just kind of writing what he feels like. I think these are like defined themes, but I also don't know how like strictly he was thinking of like, this will always now be when Leia shows up, or like, this will be the Force theme, you know? He didn't necessarily know at the time the extent to what the Force would end up being and whatever, you know? So it's a little bit of both. Like I don't know. Do you do any like writing or things like that?
I do. Yes. I'm actually writing an AU like after episode 9 called Echoes of the Past. I was producing it to be an audio drama because I have a full cast for it, but you know, I've been like mixing around different ways to engage the audience versus kind of having like text on screen and having the voice actors say their lines. And so I've been getting an artist to do art for it, and it's been slow going. So I actually decided to start publishing everything on Wattpad. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be releasing the chapters slowly on Wattpad because from the time that I announced Echoes of the Past to now, it's been like a year and a half. And so I need to start feeding the people the story that I promised. And then I have a vampire story that I'm also writing, and another fantasy, like Game of Thrones-ish story.
You're definitely not new to writing, and so you must know like what it feels like to have some idea of where things are going, but to plant seeds, and then, you know, it kind of is like a little bit of both. It is spontaneous, but there also is like an eye to, this could be made into something more, just not 100% sure how all the cards will lay out. It's pretty similar with music scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're doing it here in these couple of minutes. Even if it's just like small amounts of it, you're kind of like training, or they're training your brain to see or to do kind of like a picture association with those themes. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see the droids, you hear these sounds. Whenever you see Leia, like this small little melody plays, and then it starts to get
control our mind
in your head. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we get the Force theme here. It kind of skips part of the like familiar. It skips some of the notes that I'm used to hearing in the Force theme. My piano turned off. Okay. Goes do 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 do. No. Yeah. Do 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 do. Instead of do 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 do. And I, for some reason, like I, that all that version also sounded familiar, but I just didn't realize that that was so off the bat, missing those other notes that I'm used to hearing. And I'm not at this point sure what to make of that. And I'm sure there's already been a lot of scholarship covering that, but
I never would have noticed that difference, to be honest.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're listening to this and don't know what I'm talking about. I check out minute. It's time code 501. Yeah. So the Force theme does that. And then the Leia counter melody enters, just a really small snippet, like do 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 do. And
yeah,
it's just like that. It's like kind of like throwaway. Like, all right.
I'm trying to think of like an in universe or a lore reason as to why that might be. And if there is that subtle change, or it's missing a few notes, or is it changed a few notes?
Missing a few notes. But I will say that since this is the first version of it, I wouldn't really characterize it as missing notes. It's missing notes, you know, retroactively. We know how the Force theme develops, but here it's just that's how it first is, you know. Maybe that's how it originally was.
Well, I'm a huge stickler for finding in universe reasons for things after the fact. Mm. Just to make them a little bit more mystique. So in this, since we're in the early stages of the film, and the theme does change from that, it would probably make sense, because after does the theme change with those notes after Ben and Luke meet?
You know, I'm going to have to pay attention, and I'm going to have to give the answer on a future episode, because I don't know off the top of my head when the change, happens, but I'm on the case, and I will try to track down the lineage of this theme, where it started, why notes are left out.
It'd be very interesting
we'll come
to
back
think,
to this.
If that's the explanation. You know, practically, they just changed it retroactively. But I would love that, like, me reaching and grasping for an in-universe reason would be affirmed by those notes. They were found because of Luke and Ben. So that's cool.
So this is a really interesting, like, larger discussion that we could get into. It's always relevant, so I might as well just quickly go there. It's really hard to do that with elements of score, especially being non-diegetic elements of the universe. So score is not lore. Ooh, I just came up with that.
Another podcast?
Wow. I'm not very spontaneous, so that surprised me. All right, cool. So but I mean it, like, it, there are so many, like, musically, it's hard to basically what I'm trying to say is that, like, we haven't heard the Force theme as it is, as we hear it in Binary Sunset yet, in many ways, not just that. Like, there's a lot that still hasn't been developed yet. So it's like an infant theme at this moment, at this point. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be like natural growth to it that is not necessarily, rooted in like a lore change, but that doesn't mean that that's not the case either. It's tricky. And John Williams is really good at sort of like being coy about it. So, yeah. But I'm on the case.
I can't wait for that answer.
Me neither. So 3PO says to R2, "At last, where have you been? They're heading in this direction. What are we going to do? We'll be sent to the spice mines of Kessel, smashed into who knows what. Wait a minute, where are you going?" What a 3PO thing already off the bat, like establishing his character.
Yes.
Spice mines of Kessel.
And establishing R2, because we're getting a lot of dialogue that, well, at this point, when we're seeing this for the first time, if you're seeing this for the first time, we don't know what binary is, or if it's like the droid language. So a lot of R2's acting is done through C3PO.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you mean it's, we don't know how to interpret R2 on our own.
Yeah. And yeah. So like we get everything that he's thinking from C3PO and like how he responds to R2. So like, you know, I think R2 at some point insults 3PO and 3PO says something back to him. And we don't exactly know what R2 said to 3PO, but 3PO like lashes back like, "Oh no, I think 3PO does say that R2 calls him a mindless philosopher."
Yeah.
That was a funny part.
Yeah, we like get this relationship is established just from one character's dialogue, acting, and also R2's sound design, like, mm-hmm. R2's beeps, like those are, I mean, that's a whole conversation unto itself, like how expressive like this character is just from this sound that we don't understand or we don't attach to words. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And it's like more than just beep boops, right? He yeah. has like,
it's like purring. It's like there's emotion. Yeah. Yeah.
And then of course he's got his scream. So
yes. Can't forget that.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about how many different ways they can make R2 express emotion through different sounds that have become iconic and, you know, kind of synonymous with R2.
Totally. So at about like 5:20 here, we have violins doing this like string crossing 16th note thingy. It's like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it's really soft. That's the thing. Like it's pretty soft in the mix and it's not really like, it doesn't scream like major theme. It's sort of like underscore. It's mixed really, really low. Leia's theme is actually woven into it a tiny bit as well, again, but just really, really subtly. And then this is where we see the shot, or we see like Leia taking her hood off. Nice. I guess The Last Jedi was a nice callback to that.
Yeah.
On Crait. And I want to bring up something that the guys on Star Wars Minute podcast mentioned on June 10th, 2013. So for those who don't know, Star Wars Minute, not Star Wars Music Minute, is a show that's been around since 2013. And they go through the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time, 5 days Ooh. A week. And like we were synced up for The Last Jedi season. But since they started way earlier than I did, they're taking a hiatus right now. And that's why I'm doing A New Hope now, which they already did in 2013. So I have been going back to their podcast and seeing if they like said anything about the music or sound. And actually in minute 6, which we are currently talking about, they were musing with the guest, Tony Consiglio. They are talking about how quiet this scene seems. Like it just seems so quiet. And they were kind of musing, like, would this have been so quiet today? Like, I'm just going to throw that at you. What do you think of that?
I guess, well, I would have to ask for a clarification, like quiet as in like a mix or quiet as in like the sound staging itself?
It's a very good question. And I would have to, I don't know. Because when I listen to it, like I don't hear it as quiet.
Yeah.
But when I hear what comes next, I am like, oh, compared to this, that is quiet.
With the rebel prisoners, like,
yeah,
yeah. Compared
it's like a
to that,
it's
relatively quiet. Yeah, but I would, I guess, if I were to describe it as quiet, I think it's simply because there's like no swells that really kind of, you know, take over the scene. Right, everything is relatively just in the background.
That's really perceptive. Pronounced. Like the fact that there's no swells, I think that might be the key. There's this, like, I don't know if it's a common thing that musicians know or tell each other, but like, things are loud. Loud things can become soft if they just remain stable for long enough.
Yeah.
And it's why like an annoying hum might kind of blend in after a while. Or even like when I, you know, a metronome, when I'm practicing a metronome, if it just stays stable for long enough, kind of stop noticing it after a certain period of time. And here, it goes along with what I was saying with like how there is a lot of activity. There's like violin 16th notes and stuff, which are fast notes. But it is pretty low in the sound mix and it's like underscore E. Like it's not like a lot of tempo changes. It's pretty stable. Whatever is happening is pretty stable.
Yeah.
Like the equivalent of a low hum or something. So maybe that's it.
And I just noticed too, like it's transitioned to the next scene with Vader, choking that rebel prisoner. Like one of the notes from those violins kind of ends in a way where it seamlessly blends into the ambience of the room.
Yeah.
So you don't notice it stop playing. You're kind of like, wait, when did it stop playing?
It's like, that's just where the song ended. And then it just moved on. Yeah. Okay. So backing up, there's this very beginning thing that we're talking about. And then before Vader, we get this. Since the piano died. Oops. Okay. We get this. So it's relatively quiet and everything. And then all of a sudden, as we see the shot of the stormtroopers, like, shuttling the rebels through the hallways with their hands over the head, we get this. Thing. and if you're following along in Frank Lehman's catalog, this is 6B. It's called Imperial's Ostinato. And ostinato in music or in Italian just means repeating. And that's what it is. So we get the timpani. It's like, boom. And it's just... but it's very accented and it's like loud. It's loud in the mix. There's no talking. It's like you just see like, oh crap, like these stormtroopers, like they're in trouble. Okay. Their hands are over their heads, they're in trouble. It's a very clear change in mood from the relatively placid part that came before. And then as soon as that's over, it goes like we see Vader. And it's just done. It's not like you don't get the sense that like it was cut prematurely. It's just, that's where it stops. And I know exactly what you mean. because as soon it's seamless. That's this 5 minutes, like, and A New Hope in general, the music feels like very almost a lot of it feels like really seamless in a way. And so as soon as that stops, the music stops and we hear Vader. As soon as we see him, it stops and then we hear his breath.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, even just like analyzing this with you, I'm noticing new things. Because on the surface level, having so many different themes and sounds playing sequentially one after the other kind of makes you feel like it's discombobulated in a way. But then like you get down to the nitty gritty and you notice that these transitions and these mixes are intentional and they have a purpose, which is incredible to behold, really.
Yeah. And I think it is really fascinating that we have such a quiet, I think it's relatively quiet when mm-hmm. we see Vader. Like, this to me is kind of a quiet scene, at least musically speaking. And I try to think, like, maybe if this were today, maybe, I mean, at this point, the Imperial March hadn't been written. So it's not like we see Vader and we get do, 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 do. No, we just see Vader and he hear him breathing.
And that was his like iconic, like calling card for a long time.
Yep. I think it's a happy accident that the Imperial March wasn't, you know, written until Empire Strikes Back, because we got to know Vader. You know, I would argue that even without that, Vader still had a very signature sound because of mm-hmm. his breathing.
And I think that was also intentional by Lucas, you know,
breathing.
Now I don't pretend to know the inner workings of how the film was made and whether Lucas said to John Williams, don't do a theme for Vader. I think his breathing is going to be a huge thing. I don't know if he has the clairvoyance for that, but, but it's interesting to think about kind of retrospectively that it worked out that way. To have like a whole movie where he's just known for his breathing, and then when they introduce the Imperial March, it's just kind of additive rather than subtractive to his character.
I think regardless of whether George Lucas knew how Vader would be perceived or received, I do think that it is pretty clear that he wanted the breathing, that like the breathing was a big part, because breathing is not, it's not like breathing is just going to happen when you have that suit and they're like, oh yeah, leave the breathing in the mix. No, like, obviously inserting breathing into this is like a deliberate step to this. So it seemed that, that was part of the story that he wanted to tell, whether he knew how that it would like super catch on or not. I think it is definitely like Darth Vader's breathing is not like an ambient byproduct of, yeah.
It's clearly just like part, like if you hear it for the first time when you're watching the movie and you see like just a huge vented like mask in front of his mouth, then you know that is why he's breathing that way. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And immediately it sets a stage. It paints a picture. It's and this next minute that transpires when he's when he is force choking, it really, or is he even force choking? Yeah. It, why do I feel like it was like his hand was actually, I don't know. Now I'm tripping. But anyway, he's choking and saying like, he's breathing while talking. The stormtrooper kind of in the background says, the Death Star plans are not in the main computer. And we hear that filtered through the stormtrooper's helmet. So we already get a sense of like what stormtroopers sound like through their helmet. Like all these different characters so far basically have different sounds coming out of their mouths because of the different apparatuses that they wear. So that's like a whole thing with like this, the sound editing and mixing and just the world that they're building. Like this is so much quick world building that is subconscious. And then we get this, you know, very famous part. Vader says, where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans? And still, we don't really hear music. We hear like a cracking and choking sounds. We hear a little bit of a like muted trumpets thing. It goes like in the background, but it's still very soft. And we just like,
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's very soft. And it's, to me, it's almost a little bit funny. But really front and center here is the gasping, the choking, the cracking, the breathing. It's very like, it is, I think it makes it more scary, and it puts me like more, it raises the stakes for me, I think, more so than it would if there were music kind of polishing over it. Even if it was scary music, you know, it is much scarier to hear someone choking to death.
Especially when he's doing it one-handed and he's also simultaneously lifting him up in the air.
Yes. And talking while breathing. And the rebel, you know, we intercepted no transmissions. This is a consular ship. We're on a diplomatic mission. Vader's breathing is still incessant. It's sort of like, always going to remind you that you're there. His presence is going to be made known. Damn it. It is defining. Like, yeah, with every moment that he breathes, it is a defining moment, because it's how we meet him. In the background, we have this really soft string sustain. It's not active at all. It's like, or something like that. It just adds tension. It's like you're on pins and needles.
You know what? I just noticed after he throws him, I kind of hear part of the Force theme.
Oh.
Which is odd to, I mean.
What instrument?
Let me find it again. It is a violin after he throws the rebel officer.
Interesting. Okay. Let me see.
It might not be, but it has like similar chord progression to like the middle portion of the Force where.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think I know what you mean. Interesting. Okay. So I'll have to listen back to hear if it harmonically is similar, but even what you just hummed sounds like, what do I call it? Shape of phrase feels mm-hmm. like it might line up. And that's when Vader the moment of throwing is when the music sort of comes back to life, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, we hear the timpani and we also hear the thud of, you know, body hitting wall and floor. And all this is kind of happening together. And this is when we have like this strings agitato figure sort of like getting louder, and it's like agitated and it climbs. And that might be what you're hearing, the climbing part. Which is after, you know, Commander, tear the ship apart until you found those plans and bring me the passengers. String thingy that climbs, and then I want them alive.
And then
they part ways.
And then like a small little section where it's kind of calm, but then it like transitions to Leia's theme.
Yeah. Gosh, these like cuts are, we're very going seamless. From scene to scene pretty fast, it seems.
Yeah, and it happens in a very short amount of time, because there is so much happening, but it's, again, going through it like slowly like this, you realize how smooth everything kind of blends into each other. Especially since like the beginning of that scene that we just discussed, how the what is it, the ostinato?
Oh, the ostinato. Yeah.
Ostinato just like ended, but smoothly into that scene. And then it kind of, everything kind of picked back up as he threw that officer.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like I can't notice when there isn't music or where there is. And when you kind of put your attention towards music during these scenes, that's when you notice it. But even if you're not noticing it, you're still hearing it, which is kind of like a result of why they're mixing it in so quietly and also seamlessly transitioning to no music.
Okay. You know how when you're at the airport and you're like walking down to your gate or whatever, and you're walking, and then sometimes you see those like, they're not escalators, they're like on the floor, they're like a conveyor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where you can smoothly, like, you can walk onto that and you keep walking, but it's just a little bit faster, and then you come off of it. And it's not the whole time, it's just you can get on and off of them, and they're just sometimes, that's like what this feels like to me. It's like sometimes you're getting on one of those, and then sometimes you're just walking without the music, without the conveyor belt. But it's smooth. It's not like, okay, now let's like lift up everything and get onto the, you know, get onto the step or whatever. It's like,
yeah, it's sort of like, you know, the filming equivalent to like a set piece where,
yes, I was thinking of that too.
Where you would have things that are just very, very pronounced. And it just tells you things are about to go down. But in this case, it's all just one giant scene. There's a lot of cuts, but there's one giant scene.
So the one giant sceneness of it, that's what makes it feel like a set piece to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Me too. Cause it reminds me of like watching theater and you see how like, you know, they have to be, you know, really, you know, there's like a great economy of space and like their set might be like, you can just like twist it a little bit, you know, can rotate it a little bit, like, and then it's, you know, opens up a new part of the scene, but you know, they do it so quickly and, you know, stages and sets. I mean, that's what this feels like to me, is like we're mm-hmm. watching, you know, I feel like I'm sitting in a black box theater and it's like, and we're cutting to one side of the ship and then we can just seamlessly go to this next part. It's not like we're doing a, at least not until we get to Tatooine, it's not like we're going from wildly different places and that there's just no way to make it smooth because it's just, they're so different. This is so smooth.
Yeah. And I guess in that regard, it feels like everything is happening in such a small environment or atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I guess then that would mean that the scoring of these first few minutes it feels modular. Mm-hmm. Where they could have done anything around this setting within this ship. And gone to any scene and mixed any theme, and it would have worked in some way, shape, or form.
Possibly. Yes. I mean, what you said about it being a set piece theme, like I think this actually is considered, I think someone would call this whole opening section like a set piece theme, musically. Mm. Like that is definitely a inapplicable term. And another, you know, the most famous example would be like the asteroid field or something, where there's like a lot of, you're right about the modular part, where it's like, there will be a lot of defined sections to it. And I think especially that like, it's choreographed. It feels very choreographed.
Yeah.
And yet it all goes together, even though there's so many different distinct parts. And I think this is like one of those things that, people really remember in their heads when they listen to this. It's like you can match it with like visually what is happening because it's so it feels like such a set piece, you know?
Yeah. And each transition is marked by a certain sound.
Yeah.
Or lack of thereof a sound.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And it's also like hard to stop and break it down because, I don't know if you had this experience, but like I kept getting lulled into like watching it. And then I'm like, oh, I let 30 seconds go by. I missed a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because I just got lost in it. So yeah, then Vader and the stormtroopers part ways. And like you said, there's this brief quiet moment that seems to be like just behind wherever they were. And the stormtroopers are kind of like gingerly stepping around with their blasters ready. We hear, you know, very soft chords in the background that sound a little bit like precursors to the Imperial motifs. Leia looks from the corridor. We hear Leia's theme. And then the stormtroopers see her and they're like, there's one set for stun. Leia shoots first. Frantic violin ascension. And then the stormtrooper immediately stuns her.
Yeah. You know what's interesting to me about that whole chain of events, when I'm kind of interested to know like the intention behind not shifting to the next kind of theme until he shoots her. Cause it still remains relatively calm within Leia's theme. Even though they found her and said, there's one set to stun. In my mind, it makes sense that, you know, this discovery needs a sound or a theme to start things. But it's interesting that they went with a delayed response, I guess.
Yeah, almost like they're like, okay, but don't make too much noise because we don't want her to move. Almost like the music was waiting alongside with them almost. I don't know. That's a good point, though, because I can definitely see how they'd be like, oh, there's one, and then their theme kicks in or something.
Yeah.
But it didn't. I mean,
and she shoots, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still calm. So there's one. She shoots. And it's still calm. Not until,
we get this violin thing going up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stormtrooper stuns. Maybe another, like, well, one thing is like the shooting sounds. I don't know. Maybe they wanted those to really stand out. I think this is the first like stun gun moment in Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
And
I believe so.
The stuns definitely have a different sound, a more buoyant sound, I guess, than, you know, regular blaster fire. And that was really cool to hear there.
I would agree. Buoyant, that's a very apt word to describe it too.
It's like a bouncier sound.
But you're right though, the mix is still very much, you know, subdued. Even if we get that the violin, mm-hmm. you know, rising, it's still low in the mix and the blaster sounds are very pronounced. So,
yeah.
Definitely I think that's the case.
What effect do you think, like, what effect does that have on you personally? Like, if you try to imagine what it would be like if the dial were turned really up, how would that change things for you?
That's an interesting question. At first, if I were to imagine, it's hard to imagine.
I know.
It's audibly changing.
It's hard to imagine, like, an alternate to A New Hope.
I suppose when music is very loud or very like at the front of the mix, I kind of like, it makes me lose sight of the small picture and pay attention to the big picture. So, I'm only imagining here because I don't have an audible version, but if it were such a loud mix here with the blaster fire, I would be more broad with my focus in this scene versus focusing on, hey, this is a stun gun. This is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like. And they're only stunning her. Right. Whereas
that is so beautifully said.
Well, thank you. That was like a sight read. I was trying to imagine how
you're
it would
going
make
with
me
your
feel.
Gut there.
Yeah.
But I want to hone in on something that you said, and I will probably put this on a timestamp when I timestamp this video, but like, the big picture versus the small picture. So like if there were, and I feel this way too. And I've like said this on the podcast many times in different words, but like, I kind of have the same intuition as you, which is like, when there's a lot of music, I lose sight of the smaller picture and am more, you know, my emotions or like my brain or whatever, it kind of switches to paying attention to the bigger picture. And when there's a lot of music, when there's not a lot of music, I feel really drawn into the small picture. Like the minutes are going, like things are going by slower. I'm noticing the stun. I'm paying attention to the words, you know, in The Last Jedi, there's a lot of silence. And so like, I'm paying attention to Luke looking at his like tchotchkes in the hut and it's quiet. And I feel like I'm really there going through the intimate small stuff with, you know, these people who are all kind of, everyone is kind of sneaking around here. And so it feels to me like I get to feel that more because there's not music washing. It's like not music washed. With like the music telling, you know, when the music is really loud, it kind of tells you how we're feeling about this. And here we're kind of just experiencing it more viscerally.
Yeah, absolutely. Like loud music is like you're on rails. And more subdued music is kind of just assisting you. But you have more agency when that happens. Like if we're to go to like Luke, looking off into the binary sunset, and that mix is relatively loud, but you're looking at the broader, the bigger picture and seeing.
He's literally looking at sunsets.
Yeah.
So musically we are enjoying the sunset.
Yeah. And the feeling you get from that scene is more than just Luke is looking at suns. Like there's more happening in his mind and in his emotions, what he is feeling as he's looking out into the distance.
It's grand scale.
Yeah. And it happens with the Jedi steps too. Like you Absolutely. See the big island. And so it's very grand and loud. I love the Jedi steps too.
Yeah. I love that. I love it so much. Okay. So back to A New Hope. okay. So Leia thuds to the floor. Stormtrooper's like, she'll be all right. Inform Lord Vader we have a prisoner. And then we kind of go back to our droid friends. 3PO's telling R2, like, hey, you're not permitted in there. It's restricted. You'll be deactivated for sure. Don't you call me a mindless philosopher. And that's the first time we hear the Imperials motif. And it's very soft. Which reminds me of a movement. It reminds me of one of the dances from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker, by the way. If anyone, I'll put a link in the show notes to what I mean there. But anyway.
But I did notice, I'm sorry if no, I'm go, interrupting go a thought. But when they launch from the escape pod, I feel like, and this may just be me being mistaken, but I feel like that's the first time the music is at the forefront of the mix. And it's almost as if they're trying to say, this is where it all begins. And it's more than just about them launching into the escape pod. Like this is the story's about to start right now with these two droids.
I like that.
Like not to take away from the overall story, but like, you know, the story of A New Hope.
I like that. Yeah, I think you're right. Like at least in these minutes when they launch from the escape pod, that's when we definitely hear the music at the forefront. And to go back to the idea of like big versus small picture, like then we also literally get the shot of them like in space. So like you can't really get bigger than that. And the music, it's like the shot is the music fills the space that the shot creates for like the music that it needs, if that makes sense. Like they match. You need big music for like a shot of out of space. That part is the launching is it's how do I put this? It's like it really feels. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this, but like it feels visceral to me. Like there's also like a lot of sound design, you know, there's like 3PO feeling like whether he is brave enough to do this or not. He's getting dragged into it and he's doing that. And I like the perspective of 3PO being so present as someone who is not the bravest, does not like to go headfirst into trouble, actively does not want to do this stuff, but still like acts in a matter according to his principles or, you know, his programming or whatnot. And here he is like ready or not. And in his case, he is not, this is happening. And, you know, a lot of people in the audience, I mean, I'm sure if you're like watching the movie, you're like, yeah, I'm ready to see this story, but in a life way, I think a lot of us, at least I can relate to like, maybe I'm not really ready to do this, but you know, gonna do it anyway.
Yeah. And would you agree that it's sort of like echoing or at least preparing you for the next unlikely participant in the story, which is Luke. I mean, to prepare the audience in this way, I kind of feel like they raise the stakes with Leia and they raise the stakes with Vader, but to put the stakes solely in the hands of a person that is not like it, like you said, not the bravest, not the most capable. He's bumbling, for lack of a better term. And you know, the start of this movie is the unsung heroes, really, and the unlikely heroes. And it's start the launch with them going into, as you said, 3PO musing that he's just, this is not what he should be doing. He's a protocol droid. And it, you know, with that kind of sequence of events going into Luke, I kind of feel like they wanted to establish a narrative in which, you know, the events that we witness as part of the story doesn't always start in the most likeliest places. Mm-hmm. And so with the sequel trilogy, again, it was with a droid that was being captured.
True.
And with this one, it's these droids that are escaping, but they're still not like, they're not soldiers, they're not pilots.
Yeah. And still, like, all of the main characters were also unlikely heroes.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a passing of the baton. Like every minute of Star Wars was passing just like a relay race.
That's such a good point. Cause now that I think about it, like, I don't know if I can think of a single character except maybe Anakin, who was not like a little bit reluctant first or a little bit hesitant. Like, yeah. Even if you think about Han, like, he's like, I don't really want to do this. You know, a lot of them are like, am I really ready? Or like, yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's amazing. So then we see them in space. We see their escape pod hurtling through space, and we hear the planetary descent figure, which is the doo-doo-doo, basically. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I did just hear their descent.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I mean. And that is something that we hear like when a lot of times when we're like landing on a planet. So like when we're landing on it's called planetary descent. So when we're descending upon a planet, very descriptive, nice name, Frank Lehman, planetary
descent. But it's also again, at the forefront of the mix. So
yeah, exactly. It's part of that like space. We're still big picture, big story. Like, yeah, it's a big cue. It's a big, small one. And then we're back on the ship. We're back with Leia being escorted to Vader. We hear the Imperials motif again. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
And then we have this scene. Oh, Vader, only you could be so bold. The Imperial Senate will not sit still for this. When they hear you've attacked a diplomatic. And then he's like, don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. Several transmissions were beamed to this ship by rebel spies. I want to know what happened to the plans they sent you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan. You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away. Side note, take her away. I meant to look this up before we started, but what does the Nemoidian say? Take him away.
In
I'm talking like Phantom Menace.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, so it's been a while since I watched the Phantom Menace, and the only line that I fall back on when I think of Nemoidians is "Where are the droidekas?" That's all. But I suppose, yeah. I guess they say take them away.
Yeah, they say yeah. That's funny. So then Stormtrooper, or is it General? Yeah, okay. It's not a Stormtrooper. Is it Veers? I can't remember.
Yes.
It says, holding her is dangerous. If word of this gets out, it could generate sympathy for the rebellion in the Senate. I've traced the rebel spies to her. Now she's my only link to finding their secret base. She'll die before she'll tell you anything. Leave that to me. Send a distress signal and then inform the Senate that all aboard were killed. Blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of talking, but basically it crescendos talking wise into one of my favorite cadences from Darth Vader, which is there'll be no one to stop us this time. Shout out to James Earl Jones's speaking patterns, his cadence, like the musicality of his voice into line deliveries. Like, I feel like as much as the sound effects and the music here, like, some of these line deliveries are just seared in my mind.
Absolutely.
Like, I want them alive is one of them.
And I kind of feel like it hasn't been the same since for a lot of the new Vader voices. Mm-hmm. They do a really great job of kind of recreating the atmosphere, but James Earl Jones had a way. There was a certain way he did it that was just special. And I kind of feel like it was helped along with the sound design too in these scenes that we just saw, because I kind of feel like the sounds of the doors, you know, oftentimes when we're watching sci-fi and we're looking at automatic doors, sometimes it's like, or like, you know, very mechanical, very automatic door. Where in these ones, the sound of like gas releasing is very, very, you know, prominent. And it almost feels like they're just kind of announcing Vader throughout down the hallway. Every time he's like walking down and then another door opens, like, psst, it's like a huge reveal to this menace. And I kind of feel like when you think of door sounds, it's like, it's a little bit overkill, but I think I know what you're doing with these sounds being very gaseous and like pressurized in a way to accompany Vader.
The pressurized doors in Star Wars across the board are one of my favorite sounds to pay attention to. Like doors, I don't know, just pay attention to doors, everyone. Pay attention to all the doors in Star Wars, the way they open and also the way that they close back, and the sense of pressure that you get just from the sound design. I mean, of course, I mean, there's visuals too, like sometimes you'll see gas, but I think like listening to some of these sounds is a good test for how believable what we see visually is, or just, you know, how cohesive it is, or what story is being told. I feel like I can close my eyes and hear one of those doors open and know that it's like a very satisfying open. Like, it's not just some basic door opening. It's special. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good point. That's one of my favorites. It's great. So then kind of similar to the shot of the escape pod in space, now we get a shot of the Star Destroyer in space. And you get the, you know, that woodwind ascending thing. It's like doo 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 doo. Before the wipe cut to the sands of Tatooine.
And I kind of feel like I know at least the pattern in which they're using like louder sounds. Like the larger the music is in the mix, the larger the thing on screen is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pay attention to more.
That's a good rule of thumb, and it's applicable even to if the scene is of a single person's face, because if there's really loud music and it's, or, you know, crescendoing music while just looking at something very small, it raises the like importance or the emotional investment of that thing too. So I think that applies. I think it applies physically and emotionally.
With close-ups, it kind of reminds me of, the Bruce Lee movie, I forget what it's called, something with the dragon. It's not Return of the Dragon, or Enter the Dragon. It's with, Chuck Norris. And they have those face zooms that have become very, very, famous techniques in martial arts, where it goes,
I see.
So, I mean, yeah, it applies there too. I mean, totally. I think just the large zoom in and the large mix is a time honored tradition, I guess.
Yeah, or if it's like if we have like a bank of how much attention and emotion and investment we're going to put in a scene, it just the disbursement of the visuals and the music maybe tells us how to allocate those resources.
Yeah.
And so if that's what we see, then it all goes to that person. And I guess, you know, it's sort of like how everyone is the star of their own you know, movie or epic or whatever. So but to completely contrast that, we get to the sands of Tatooine. No music.
Yeah, I love this part.
Why?
Simply because, like, you don't need music. You have the vast emptiness of, like, the Dune Sea. And to underscore that with just empty, like, no music, just kind of adds to it. So if there were to be music here, I kind of feel like it would be detracting from the atmosphere that they're in. Like, it's large. Like, the first shot that we see them in Tatooine, is they're small in comparison, and then it's just sand. Mm-hmm. And then we get some more medium shots of them before a close-up of, but like the most of the shots we see is just the dunes and just emptiness for as far as they can see. And so I love being able to sit in silence and just appreciate the scope of that.
I would love to hear you elaborate on that a little bit more. Like, so there's no music, and for you, that's a positive thing. Like, it allows you to, take in the surround, like take in basically what's on the screen a little bit more. What are you focusing on? What are you honing in on here?
Well, without the music, what I'm honing in on is what's on the screen. So
the visuals.
So when it's a wide shot of the Dune Sea, I'm concentrating, or at least I'm consuming the fact that they are in a large desert. And then when it's medium shot to close up with the 3PO and R2, I'm focused on their conversation and just how they're dealing with this present scenario that they're in. Just like with the small picture, big picture, when there's no music, you're kind of just details now. And where if it were, very low in the mix, if there was a song low in the mix, I would be focused on what's happening in this on the scene. When there's no music, I'm like hyper focused. And I kind of feel like it gets to a point where you are there. And so I don't know if there's a thing, but like musically, in terms of theory about like no music being just as important. But I feel like the silence of the soundtrack in this scene with just R2's, mechanical sounds and 3PO's dialogue is just, it's a perfect scene.
The mechanical sounds is sort of like that is very prominent. Sorry if my mic just sounded weird for a second.
You sound fine to me.
Okay. Okay, just a second. So what you said about the mechanical sounds is what I really zoom in on, and the howling winds as well. But like 3PO's lines here are, how did we get into this mess? I really don't know how. We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life. I've got to rest before I fall apart. My joints are almost frozen. Like basically 3PO is letting us know how miserable he is and that they're in this, nothing about this is comfortable. And I love that here, because there's no music, we can hear like, all of the movements of the joints. We can hear, the stiff joints, and we can hear just the effort that is being made, the creakiness. Like, it's not just easy to just be a robot and be like, press play and go. So I feel like the scene really like humanizes them. Like, we are really focusing on what their arc is. Like, the mechanical sounds of the droids are front and center. We are really feeling their effort. We are in this desolate location. It kind of forces the audience to contend with their humanity, or like what their reality is,
Yeah.
It reminds me like of the droid arc in Clone Wars, which is like one of my favorite arcs of Clone Wars, the cartoon. And basically, for those who haven't watched it, it's like this arc that is, a lot of some people, it's kind of a hit or miss for fans, I think, but it's like told from like the droid's perspective, and visually, like, we see the droids as big. We see the droid, we see the world through the droid's eyes, basically. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening here, is like, it's us and the droids. It's no music. We are really focusing on them. And the sparseness of the music matches the sparseness of the scenery. And yeah, it's like us and the droids, you know?
Yeah. And the all of the sounds that we talked about in this scene also kind of like, you know, when I talk about a small picture and then into details, it's more than just like, it's more than just the finer details in what's on the screen. It's the finer details in what's in the emotion of the scene, because then without the music, you are hyper-focused on their relationship with each other, how they treat each other, how they're speaking to each other. And my favorite sound from this scene is 3PO kicking R2, and it's just a ka-thong. And I'm just like, that was so prominent, and I love it. Absolutely love this. And so, you know, without music, all of that is just more pronounced. Every single clank and every single sound just has a huger impact on your consciousness than if it were like a little bit blended with music.
Yeah, I love that. It's such a great introduction. And then it makes it more meaningful, which, you know, not in this minute, but like as we progress, you know, through the movie, it makes it more special when we hear like the tiny sounds, like of like the very, you know, the little small woodwinds, you know, the little, I feel like everything that we hear on Tatooine is so, it's like exploratory. Like it makes, it kind of lays a like an empty palette that's like waiting to be filled with experiences. And they don't have experiences there yet because they're new. And so with each thing that they, you know, with each creature they meet and each person they meet, like it adds a little bit more. So like get like the Jawas, yeah, like, you know, little things like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. We're about done with the 5 minutes. So actually I wanted to say one more thing. You said if you asked if there was a music theory thing about silences and whatnot. And I will say that like the way that I think about the relationship between silences and music is that, well, what is music? Music is just the organization of sound. So music and is just a form of sound. Like there is not really, the only distinction between music and sound is just what we humans creators have decided to deem as music. But really, if you just strip it all down, like what we're talking about is just the soundscapes. Like it's all sound. It's all sound. Just the way that it's organized might be considered music. So since music is the organization of like these things, like of sound, you know, sound waves and whatever, you embedded within that is silence. Like if you were organizing a house or something with all the, it's not just made up of all the furniture just stacked up all against each other. Like inherent in that, you know, configuration is, and we're gonna and leave some space here and then like leave maybe this room a little bit more empty, and it's all part of it. So like silence is part of music, and the way that silence is organized and how much of it and where and like the ratios of, you know, it's all, silence is music.
It's you know, it's quite the revelation to at least listening to how you just described that, how much art kind of overlaps with each other, because, you know, from a design perspective or for any kind of perspective, really, now that you described it that way, is that every single piece of creative medium has a composition, has a layout in which you account for negative space. And my mind is blown.
It's like a Rorschach thing, honestly. And it's, you know, it's one of those like principles of the universe or whatever that I feel like applies, like that framework, that sort of framework, like you said, can be applied to so many things, art, life, discussions, you know, even discussions about like what is present in a story and who is present, who's even like represented and who's not represented. Like what is not being said is also worth thinking about just as much as what we are deeming as the loud part, the loud music, or like, you know, there yeah. silences, you know, a lot of people hear and feel and see silences. So on that note, the Star Wars Music Minute questionnaire for this episode, the same three questions to every guest. I am going to, you're going to be the second person this season because this is episode two to answer these questions. But awesome. Let's see. These are going to be kind of rapid fire questions. And the first one is, in three words, what does Star Wars sound like? Or what is the Star Wars sound in three words?
I'd have to say, and this is probably, I could probably name a piece or a composition.
Okay. That's three words.
But I would have to say Beyond the Horizon.
Good one. Beyond the Horizon. All right.
Yeah. If I may elaborate just a little bit, like a lot of the scores and the themes that we hear in Star Wars makes us look off into the distance. And we even if it's not a one-to-one comparison to Luke looking off into the binary sunset, it's still, we're doing something to that regard in our own way. And so every time I hear a sound or a song in Star Wars, it's always impending. So whether it's like the Imperial March or the Force or any of the characters' themes, it's always optimistic hope or impending despair. It's something off in the distance. So whenever I hear a Star Wars sound, I'm just like looking off and being like, what comes next, you know?
Oh, you are Luke looking at the binary sunset. Oh, that's a great answer. So question number two is, what is an area of Star Wars music or sound that you want to know more about, or that you wouldn't mind nerding out on more, or that you maybe don't know about at all? Just what do you want to learn, or what would you like to talk more about?
Music and sound.
In general? In general.
I mean, I've never done this before, which is why I loved speaking with you about it, because I'm a lore master, and all of my discussions with other fans and friends is all about, you know, my interpretation of the Force and what happened in this era, or what happened here. Can you explain this information gap? And I never really get a chance to analyze any of the other arenas of Star Wars, like sound and music. And I absolutely loved doing this with you. But more specifically, lightsaber sounds. I don't know if I've ever, this might be like a Mandela effect, I don't know if I've ever seen a BTS footage or a BTS video of how they make the sound, but the lightsaber sound is very iconic, not in the way that it's a lightsaber, but iconic in a way that how it adds to the narrative of any given duel or fight or scene that they're being used in. Because if we compare them to their closest ancestor, which is just swords, they don't add sound to the scene. They add the clanks whenever, you know, they're clashing, but these have ambient sounds. They have hums, and what happens in between them activating to fighting to ending the fight, they're constantly adding sound to it.
That's so good. The idle lightsaber is that negative space that is still powerful, even when it's not being actively clanked. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. That was a great description. And the third and final question is, what is another score other than Star Wars, another soundtrack or score that you love?
I always go back to Hans Zimmer's The Last Samurai. I love that soundtrack. I use it to hype myself up. I use it to fall asleep. Like, there's so many different elements of that soundtrack that is just beautiful and emotional. And I feel like that in my personal opinion, it's Hans Zimmer's, one of his finest soundtracks, one of Tom Cruise's finest movies. And even though I say that, I feel like the star of the show was Ken Watanabe, but it's one of my favorite movies, for sure. And so I just like the sounds of the village and the sounds of Tom Cruise's character, you know, reconciling with his PTSD and getting his first peaceful sleep in how many years because of like the spiritual nature and the power of the place he was in, coupled with the music, was absolutely brilliant.
This is fascinating. I wonder if anyone is going to give an answer of a score that they loved, but a movie that they hated, because I feel like that often goes hand in hand. Like, it's almost hard to separate them, like, because a score elevates a good movie, and like a score is important when the movie is itself good, you know, like Star Wars. I love the Star Wars score, but like the story also really, it's hard to separate it, you know. What if it was just the score, but like a really story that was just like really not a good story at all? Like, would the score even be memorable? Like, would I even listen? It's just, I mean, I always go back to this, but it just speaks to like the power of film, how it's like such a collaborative art, and like it's like 1 + 1 = 3. It's like all these things work together, and it's almost it's just hard to pull them apart, which is, you know, another reason for me doing the show rather than just talking about the soundtracks in isolation. Like, to me that's like also part of everything. It's like just woven into everything. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I kind of feel like that goes hand in hand with like how emblematic John Williams's scores have been throughout the saga. Cause I mean, it wouldn't be a lie to say that there are certain movies that people don't like, but the themes are still very much, you know, this larger machine of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You'll get the Force theme, which plays in all movies. Now, whether you like that movie or not as a fan, is, you know, relative to your opinion, but the scores are still relatively the same. So it's like a good example of someone who would mention a soundtrack to a movie that they didn't like, because the sound of the music of Star Wars is very much its own thing now. It does
have a life of its own, for sure.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been really, really mind-opening to talk to you, Pep. I really appreciate it. Can you remind everyone where to find you online?
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me on. I absolutely loved talking to you about this and doing this with you because, again, I'm a lore master, so all I talk about is kyber crystals, lightsabers, and which Jedi is this and how powerful are they? So, you know, I learned so much like new things from doing this. And I even, you know, noticed new things about these few scenes that we covered that I hadn't noticed before, because it matters what lens, from which lens you see certain media.
Very true.
And when I first saw this growing up, of course, I was just a kid who wanted to be, you know, a hero. And then rewatching it as a lore master is just like details, details, details. I need all the details so I can know this stuff. And then right now with you, analyzing the score and the subtleties around it and nuances, I absolutely enjoyed it. So thank you for that. You can find me on TikTok @_element7_, on Twitter _element7_, consistent. Unfortunately, on Instagram, _elements7_ I had to add another one.
All the links will be in the description.
Absolutely. And YouTube, Element 7, Diet and the Forces every week. Awesome. And I want to have you on one of these weeks. I got to find the perfect one for you.
Sounds good. And you can find me online at Star Wars Music Minute on Instagram and TikTok. I've only posted 2 TikToks, though. on Twitter, I'm at Star Wars Musemin. And you can email me if you have like detailed questions at podcast@starwarsmusicminute.com. And I am Chrysanthi, and you can also find me at Chrysanthi Tan everywhere. So I hope you do that. And thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being on this journey with A New Hope through the lens of music and sound. And see you next week on Star Wars Music Minute.